the Food and Drug Administration released its proposal last week to ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. The FDA says the ban would reduce the number of young people who start smoking and help current smokers quit. It would also address health disparities by race and socioeconomic status. The tobacco industry is expected to challenge the ban, which would represent one of the largest regulations of their products in at least the last decade. We're learning more about the potential impacts of that kind of ban, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the FDA should ban menthol cigarettes and or flavored cigars? Should the FDA take more steps to regulate tobacco products? What regulations would you like to see? What questions do you have about who uses these kind of products? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sarah Mills is an assistant professor in the Department of Health Behavior at the Gillings School of Global Public Health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She studies tobacco use and racial and socioeconomic health disparities, and she's looking at the possible impact of a menthol ban. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, how widely used are these products, the menthol cigarettes and the flavored cigars?
Well, about one third of smokers in the United States use menthol cigarettes. That's about 18 million people who use menthol cigarettes here.
What do we know about who is using them? Which demographic groups seem to use these menthol cigarettes in particular most?
Sure. Menthol cigarettes are used by about 85% of Black smokers as compared to 30% of white smokers. So there are stark racial disparities in use of menthol cigarettes, and this is a result of targeted marketing by the tobacco industry. Menthol cigarettes are also used at higher rates among people with lower incomes.
Let's talk more about the marketing. I know there have been campaigns in Milwaukee and other big cities around the country trying to give some kind of restrictions to the marketing of these products. What do we see when we look out there? How disproportionately are these products targeting Black smokers in particular?
Yeah, so targeted marketing by the tobacco industry of menthol cigarettes to Black communities in particular has gone on for decades and continues today. My own research finds that tobacco retailers in neighborhoods with a greater percentage of Black residents have more advertising for menthol cigarettes and cheaper prices for Newport menthol cigarettes, which is the most popular menthol cigarette brand. And what this does is it increases access to the product.
And now I just said marketing targeted to Black smokers. I guess a big part of the story here is, how much does this marketing affect non-smokers? How much of this is the way that people get onboarded, get brought into smoking in the first place?
That's a great point. So marketing study shows makes it more difficult for smokers to quit because they're constantly being reminded of tobacco. And it also increases smoking among youth. And so, we're not only concerned about our smokers, but we're also interested in tobacco control and prevention and reducing youth smoking rates and trying to prevent them from using a cigarette at all.
Talking to Sarah Mills, who researches health behavior at the Gillings School of Global Public Health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, looking at a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars proposed by the FDA. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions on that, maybe your experiences, maybe the ads you see in your own community at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sarah, for those who haven't smoked cigarettes, what is it about menthol cigarettes? What is the specific appeal there?
Right. So menthol is an additive, and it's found in a number of products. It's found in shampoos, toothpaste. But when added to cigarettes, the analgesic and cooling effects of menthol help to mask the harshness of cigarette smoke, and this facilitates initiation. Menthol cigarettes are considered a starter product for youth, and the analgesic and cooling effects of menthol that help reduce that harshness of cigarette smoke makes it easier for youth to start using the product. And about 50% of youth, when they start smoking, they start with a menthol cigarette.
So to put it in really literal terms, that first drag of a cigarette, if it's from a menthol one, because of that slight numbing property, I'm less likely to gag on it.
Yep, that's correct.
Mm.
Studies.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so in addition to these, to facilitating initiation, menthol cigarettes are also more difficult to quit than non-menthol cigarettes. And that's a problem because if you're less likely to quit, that in turn increases your likelihood of dying from tobacco-related disease.
And a key point here, I think people may have the sense, since it feels like it's smoother and less harsh, people might come away with the impression that a menthol cigarette is less unhealthy than a regular cigarette. That is not at all true, correct?
That's correct. There are studies that look at perceptions of the harm caused by menthol cigarettes as compared to non-menthol cigarettes. And individuals do believe that it's less harmful, but that's not the case at all. And actually, because they're more difficult to quit, they are considered more harmful than non-menthol cigarettes.
You are, I believe, currently engaged in research on the possible impact of a menthol cigarette ban. What kind of things are you looking at?
So I'm developing a simulation model to estimate the public health impact of a menthol cigarette ban on tobacco use and tobacco-related disease. And this work is part of a growing literature base that's using simulation to estimate the impacts of tobacco control policies. Right now, there are already simulation models out there that estimate that over a 40-year period, up to 640,000 deaths in the United States would be averted if a national menthol cigarette ban were implemented.
We're talking about the FDA's proposed menthol cigarette and flavored cigar ban. Sarah Mills is with us, public health professor at the University of North Carolina, who studies, among other things, disparities in tobacco use and public health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a current or former smoker, were menthol cigarettes or flavored cigars some of your earliest experiences with smoking? What do you think in general about this idea of the FDA banning these products? Do you see a lot of marketing in your community for these flavored tobacco products? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with University of North Carolina public health professor Sarah Mills. With us today, looking at the health disparities in menthol cigarette use and the potential impact of an FDA ban proposed by the agency on menthol cigarettes as well as flavored cigars. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to that idea, your thoughts, your experiences. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to Kimberly in Arena now. Kimberly, hi.
Hi. So my boyfriend, he's trying to quit smoking, but when he was first starting, when he wouldn't use his credit card to buy the types of cigarettes that he buys, within a week he would get coupons in the mail for that particular brand of cigarettes that would be like $3 off or something. And I remember one time I bought him a pack of cigarettes, and I started getting those in the mail probably weekly for about 2 months.
Interesting, Kimberly. Thank you for sharing that with us. Sarah, I think of a cigarette advertising as the billboard or the sign in front of the store. It can be, Kimberly says, a little more subtle than that.
The tobacco industry now spends the majority of its marketing doing things just like that, sending coupons, and having price promotions like 2-for-1 deals that reduce the price of cigarettes and essentially increasing access to the product. Within tobacco control, one of our most effective interventions is to reduce smoking prevalence is to increase the price of tobacco products. And so the tobacco industry uses its marketing funding to keep prices low and keep access of these products to the public.
Thanks for that call, Kimberly, at 800-642-1234. Sarah, I've seen some concerns about how this might be enforced, especially if it focuses police attention on Black communities where these cigarettes are being sold. Do you have concerns about that, that there would be unintended consequences that would fall on the people that you're hoping to help with, or that people are hoping to help with this ban?
The tobacco industry is pushing these false claims that a menthol cigarette ban will subject Black Americans to more law enforcement abuse. The Food and Drug Administration is planning to ban the manufacture and sale of the product, and they're not planning to criminalize possession or use of the product. For years, the tobacco industry has funded organizations and prominent spokespeople to try to leverage real concern about law enforcement abuses into opposition to prohibiting menthol cigarettes. And this fear-mongering cannot hide the fact that it is the industry itself that has caused so much harm to Black Americans through their targeted marketing of this product. Racial bias in policing is an urgent problem that must be addressed. And the tobacco industry's targeting of the Black community with menthol cigarettes and the enormous harm that it has caused must also be addressed. We can and we must do both. This proposed ruling is not about criminalizing Black smokers. It's about saving Black lives.
Now, we heard from Reed in New Berlin, who wanted to know more about the science between menthol being more dangerous. I think you had said earlier, Sarah, that menthol cigarettes, people have a harder time quitting smoking them. Why would that be?
So there's different, I'm not a biologist, but there's different ideas about, hypotheses about why menthol cigarettes in particular makes it more difficult to quit. One is that because menthol reduces the harshness of cigarette smoke, individuals are able to inhale the smoke more deeply, and this results in greater nicotine dependence, and it's nicotine dependence that drives addiction and makes it more difficult to quit.
Now, we have some precedent here. I understand, Sarah, there used to be other flavors of cigarettes, you know, like a berry flavor, the sort of things you might see in these flavored cigars. Have we learned anything from the impact of banning those other non-menthol flavors of cigarettes?
So in 2009, under the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act, all flavored cigarettes were banned except for menthol. And the reason why these flavors were banned is because flavors attract youth. And we have seen continuous reductions in youth smoking prevalence over time. And so the tobacco industry, of course, did not want to, wanted to exempt menthol from that ruling in 2009 because the most popular flavor of cigarettes is menthol cigarettes. But to continue to prevent youth smoking and to reduce the harm that tobacco causes to the public health, it's critical to also ban menthol cigarettes.
Let's get to the outcomes now. What do we know about health disparities that the availability and the marketing of these products, these menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars, has on, as you mentioned earlier, Black communities and low-income communities?
So Black adults suffer the most from tobacco-related disease and mortality. They have the highest incidence and death rates from tobacco-related disease and mortality. And this is believed to be in part driven by their disproportionate use of menthol cigarettes. And so by banning this product, we think that we'll not only save lives overall in the total U.S. population, but we'll also see a disproportionate impact and positive public health impact in the Black community.
What would be a timeline if this is a proposed ban? What is the timeline from now until something like this coming into reality?
So this past week, FDA issued a proposed ruling. There'll be a comment period for several months where the public is able to comment on this proposed ruling. FDA then needs to review all comments. FDA reviews every single comment made. That can take several months. After that, a rule would be finalized. And then there's a typically a 12-month period before the effective date of a policy after a rule is finalized. So I'd say we're at least a year and some months away from the ban taking effect. However, the tobacco industry will likely sue, and that would delay the ban for longer.
And briefly, Sarah, I know another angle people have pursued is trying to cut down on marketing of these products. Do you see that as something that might be useful?
I do. Studies show that marketing is associated with tobacco use, cravings, and relapse. And so by restricting marketing, that is another tobacco control intervention that we can use to help reduce smoking prevalence.
Sarah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Sarah Mills, assistant professor in the Department of Health Behavior at the Gillings School of Global Public Health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's with us today for a look at the possible impact of a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. Still time for you to share your thoughts. Let us know what you think, maybe your own experiences, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.